Good morning, and welcome to Great Loop Radio, brought to you every Friday morning at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time by America's Great Loop Cruisers Association. AGLCA and our Admiral sponsors, Dog River Marina and Boat Works, Dozier's Regatta Point Yachting Center, Dozier's Waterway Guide and Magazine, Green Turtle Bay Resort, Marina Life, Richardson's Map Tech, Passage Maker Trawler Fest, and Skipper Bob Publications invite you to join us as we explore the Great Loop every Friday morning with a show chock full of information that's useful to you whether you're dreaming of, in the midst of, or planning a trip around the Great Loop. And don't forget to visit our ship store at www.greatloop.org/shipstore. Thanks and enjoy the show.
Welcome again to all the listeners to America's Great Loop Cruisers Weekly Blog Radio. The Homeport crew is with us as usual, Beth McHugh, Steve Cromer, and myself, who's Janice Cromer. For those non-members listening to the show, the Great Loop is the continuous waterway that includes the eastern portion of North America, including the Atlantic and Gulf intracoastal waterways, the Great Lakes, the Canadian Heritage Canals, and the inland rivers of America. Our association is an organization of people who share a sense of adventure and curiosity about the loop. Our association's primary purpose is to disseminate information, and enhance the overall experience for those dreaming about or doing the loop. Our website is www.greatloop.org, and we'd love for you to become a member. Now, Lake Michigan is a must-do in order to complete the loop. So we've invited Bob Kunath, who is a Waterway Cruising Guide editor, to be our guest host and guide us through this impressive waterway. Waterway Guide is a wonderful resource for all of the Great Loop. The particular edition that you'd want for cruising Lake Michigan is the Great Lakes, and I highly recommend you get the full set of waterway guides when doing the loop. Okay, Bob, I think we're ready to begin. Why don't you tell us a little bit about water levels in Lake Michigan? I've been reading, and I believe there's a new study going on about water levels in the Great Lakes. I think there's an open panel that's going to start this week. Can you tell us something about it?
Yeah, sure. Well, good morning, and thanks for inviting me to join you on the show this morning. I've done this before, as you know, and it's a lot of fun. And I hope we can share some information that's useful.
Great.
Yeah, I started boating on Lake Michigan around a little over 20 years ago, and at that time the water levels were more than 2 feet higher than they are today. Currently, it's been dropping steadily, and it oscillates from year to year, depending on, I think the main driver is the snowfall in Superior, and as everybody knows, we didn't get a lot of snow in the Midwest this past winter, so therefore it's particularly lower. I know the gauge shows a few inches lower if you look at the Army Corps gauge, but what I see in the harbors is that it's almost a foot lower, and that's, again, a subjective evaluation, but it's kind of what I see. It's not too much of a problem in the bigger harbors, except that particularly on the Michigan side, most of the harbors were built 30 or 40 years ago, and they all have fixed piers. Some have been replaced, but the older harbors have fixed piers, which means you may need to get a ladder to get out of your boat to climb up to the pier, which is not the most fun thing. The newer harbors are being built with fixed piers. I'm sorry, floating docks, notably St. Ignace and the new Michigan City Marina. Leland was just replaced. Charlevoix, the docks were all replaced. And I guess we'll see more replaced as time goes on. But for those boaters, most of us know what datum means, D-A-T-U-M. But datum, as it applies to charting, means that when you see the little depth numbers on the chart, there is an assumption that the water level is at datum, which happens to be 578 feet above sea level. right now, that's just about where it is. The Lake Michigan, Lake Huron table is about 578 above sea level. So that means that you need to take the depth numbers for what they are and don't assume that you might get a foot, two, or three over that like you would have in past years. And, of course, you add to that a lot of those depth soundings were made maybe 10, maybe 20, maybe 50 years ago. But all the moral of the lesson here is, especially going into smaller harbors, you want to call ahead and make sure they're okay. Until, believe it or not, as recently as last week, Leland, Michigan had an approach depth of 2 feet. And Leland is one of the most important ports because it's a natural harbor of it's a harbor of refuge, and there's a long distance between the ports in that particular area, so you don't have much choice. You got to get in there. So
2 feet, Bob?
2 feet, yes. If you look at the chart from as recently as last year, you'll see more, quite a bit more. But if you look at the chart, I downloaded a chart from NOAA on June 12th, and it showed a depth of 2 feet. I called the harbor master, and he verified that they finished dredging just last week. They now have 11 feet coming in, so you won't have a problem. The same thing in Arcadia, Michigan, a couple of ports down. The latest reported depth at that harbor is 3 feet in the entrance. So I understand they're supposed to be dredging that, but I haven't confirmed it. So again, the lesson here is any particularly smaller ports that don't have large freighter traffic and so on, you want to call ahead and make sure they got enough depth to get in. The root of this, by the way, is I believe the Army used to pay for the dredging, so it was done automatically, and with budget cuts, they've pushed a lot of that down to the states and cities, and there's always a tug-of-war between the city and the state parks department, so who's going to pay for it, and if that doesn't get resolved, the dredging doesn't get happen.
I want to mention, if anyone has any questions for Bob or any comments that they'd like to contribute, you can call in toll-free to our show. The number is 877-497-1815. Bob, would you mind questions?
No, of course. Any questions, let her rip. That's what we're here for.
Okay, great. Anybody who wants, please do call in. Bob, you mentioned dredging. Is there anything else you want to tell us about the dredging of the ports?
I think we pretty well covered that. Again, the caution is call ahead before you pull in the report. One more thing on that, though. Particularly on the Michigan side, if the wind is coming from the west and it's strong, and let's say there's a 2 or 3 foot wave pattern, which isn't a whole lot, and of course the opposite applies on the Wisconsin side, that means that a 3 foot depth may range between 1 and 5 feet. Because of the waves coming into the harbor.
Uh-huh.
And that was really borne out 2 years ago in the Portage Inlet, for example. A Mack boat coming back from the race that had a 7-foot keel, I believe it was, he literally bounced on the bottom as coming in rough waves and wound up poking a hole through his hull with his keel as it bounced on the bottom and sinking right in the middle of the inlet. So... I know you don't want to hear all that stuff, but it does happen.
It does happen. I know weather is a big, big concern on Lake Michigan. Can you give us some input on the best weather sites that people can keep monitoring to be aware of what's going on?
Oh, sure. I think we've got a whole bunch of good sources. There is, of course, the VHF, the channels scattered around the lake. But they tend to be late. If you've got internet access, I think the one I look at the most is the weather buoys, and that's weather.gov. The one I look at is the buoys, which is NDBC for National Data Buoy Center. NOAA.gov. And then there's when you go to that site, ndbc.noaa.gov, there's a place where you can plug in buoy numbers to make it faster than having to scroll down through the maps. The three on Lake Michigan are 45002, which is right near Beaver Island, 45007, which is halfway between Racine and Saugatuck, and then 45022, which is at the northern end of Little Traverse Bay. So there's a couple of others. Woodmapper.com, I like that one a whole lot. That gives you a pictorial of the whole area with arrows showing the direction of the wind and the intensity, and you can go ahead up to 4 days and by hour and look at the forecasted wind. So that's a good one to look at. And let's see, I would say the overall radar pattern, if you want to look at that, just go to weather.gov, which is the overall site for the for NOAA, and right on the first screen is a click for radar, and then you can drill down to see the real-time radar scans. So there's others that find all the same stuff, but those are the ones I like.
Thank you. Are there any special places that you would recommend we not miss when we were on our loop? First of all, do you like the eastern or the western shore?
Well, I like both, and I've been around the lake to virtually every port. And there's, by the way, there's 168 marinas, I think it is. So it'll take you a while if you want to visit them all.
Yeah.
And the character is different between the east and western shore. I think that's the best way to describe it. On the eastern shore, you've got, starting up in the north, you've got towering sand dunes up to 450 feet high, the Sleeping Bear Dunes. Those are world famous. And they just, as a matter of fact, I recognize as one of the, I don't know, 10 best natural wonders or something. There's always a 10 best of something that made a list recently. But the ports in that area up there, particularly Harbor Springs, Charlevoix, and Leland, are among the best you're going to find anywhere. I mean, they're really first class. They represent the old money from Detroit and Chicago, where they used to build their houses and go on vacation, and they still do. So I would try not to miss any of those three. Moving on down, Frankfurt is a good spot, because that one has, for example, good anchorage, and it's probably 7 or 8 feet of water, and right at, near that anchorage, there's a supermarket within walking distance. You can see it, and you can walk to it. And it's also got a great downtown and terrific beaches. Ludington, going on further down, is that's a pretty neat small, it's almost a small city, but it's still a vacation town. You can take a bus up to visit the Point Betsy Lighthouse. There's great grocery shopping there as well, and good beaches. And that also is the eastern end of the Badger Ferry route. So if you're on either side and you want to visit the other side without using your boat, you can take the ferry. It's kind of cool. It's been running since 1951. It's coal-fired, but this may be the last year because the EPA is trying to shut down the coal furnace on it. But we'll have to see what happens there. Now, as you go on down the port, continue on down the Michigan shore, Grand Haven is interesting. Saugatuck is probably one of the most unique. It's a sort of an, it used to be more of an arts community, but it's probably evolved into just plenty of shops, which are good. And these guys, by the way, are smart. You know, I've seen a lot of towns pulling the sidewalks on Sundays. They're open till 10 o'clock on Sunday night, all the shops. So it doesn't matter when you get there, you're going to be able to, you know, spend all your gas dollars on clothing instead or something. But it's a lot of neat stuff to do in Saugatuck. Down in South Haven, I think, is probably the one of the coolest ports. That's also been mentioned as one of the best destinations. The problem is the other side's got great ports, too. I think if you've got, let's say, several days to a week to spare, go through Sturgeon Bay and visit Fish Creek, Sister Bay, up in Door County. Those tours, again, as good as you're going to find anywhere, and they're very, very, very popular and very heavily trafficked. And there is anchorage in both of those spots. Moving on down the coast, I think if you can stop at Manitowoc, which is an old industrial town, but they've got the best museum on the Great Lakes. And by the way, it's an affiliate of the Smithsonian. There's It's called the Wisconsin Maritime Museum in Manitowoc, and they have an excellent restoration of a World War II submarine, the USS Cobia, which is available for sleepovers, by the way, if you want to get your grandkids and spend the night in a torpedo tube.
It doesn't sound very appealing to me.
Well, yeah. Actually, my son and grandson did just that last summer with a Cub Scout troop. They had a ball. Then if moving on down from Manitowoc, Sheboygan was recognized as one of the best cities to retire in the United States a few years ago. You can get world-class golf there about 5 miles from the harbor. The Whistling Pines, I think it's called, or Whistling Straits or something. I played that course once. It's unbelievably tough. And you can visit the town of Cola where they originated all the stuff that they make, visit the factory. But Sheboygan itself is a pretty cool town. Below that, Port Washington, it's not a big town, but again, Cruising Magazine, I think it was, recognized that as one of the 10 best ports in the United States. And it's not because they got a lot of shops, so this town is struggling a little bit, but they've got some great food there. The Port Hotel has terrific prime ribs. There's a meat market, Bernie's, where you can buy all kinds of sausages as well as inch and a half thick prime ribs to put in your food locker. There's a smoked fish store called Ewig's there where they've always got a couple of dozen packages ready to go of smoked whitefish or salmon or whatever it is that that interests you. And of course, Milwaukee is totally awesome. There's you can visit the Miller Brewery if you want, the Harley Museum. There's a festival almost every weekend at Meyer Park. And you won't miss it, the Calatrava wing of the Milwaukee Art Museum on the waterfront. It looks like a dove with its wings outstretched. And the believe it or not, the wings of that dove, this gigantic roof mechanism, moves with the sun to block the sunlight from getting into the museum. It's very, very unusual. Racine, below that, is probably the... it's a great place to visit, but particularly as a resident, it's a resident marina where you spend your whole season. It's got everything. It's got plenty of marine services, West Marine, lots of restaurants, all within walking distance, and there's plenty of room for rendezvous and so on. Below that, there's a couple more harbors, but I've given you the best ones, but Racine is 50 miles from Chicago, so you might be able to make it from there, but... Kenosha, Waukegan, and Northport, you can get a Metra or Amtrak train to go downtown for the day if you want to visit Chicago without paying the Chicago dockage fees.
Great. We need to break for a quick commercial here, Bob. Can you just hold on for a second?
Go ahead.
Okay, Beth, we're ready.
Okay.
AGLCA Admiral-sponsored Dog River Marina is located at the mouth of the Tenton Waterway in Mobile, Alabama, only 22 miles from the Gulf of Mexico. The marina encompasses 95 slips, 80 of which are sheltered. They offer a ship store, courtesy car, rental cars, 24-hour guard service, and shore power. The complex's full-service repair facility is staffed with highly trained personnel to handle everything from simple repairs to complex overhauls. For more information, visit www.dogriver.com.
Thank you. Bob, I'm going to skip around a little bit. Now that you're talking about great harbors and great cities, events and things to do in those cities, do you want to expand on that a little bit?
Well, yeah, I mentioned that museum up in Manitowoc. It really is kind of like a must-see. Over at Grand Harbor, Grand Haven, rather, there's a Coast Guard festival. I believe it's coming up in the next week or two. The Milwaukee area has festivals almost every weekend. There's mostly ethnic festivals. There's Italian, German, Polish, you name it. They got them all covered. The Michigan City, Indiana, has a boat show, a rather large one, that's coming up, I think, August 24th. There's a Milwaukee air show. Now, this is going to be a good one to see. It is the 12th, I believe, or 14th and 15th, I think it might be. That closest weekend of that is Saturday and Sunday. in the Milwaukee Harbor. That'll have to be a several-hour air show. Then, of course, a week later, give or take, is the Chicago Air Show, which draws typically several million residents. But as a boater, you're going to be right underneath the flight line. And I've done that several times. That is totally awesome. There, of course, in Chicago itself, there's something to do every day of the week. You know, there's no shortage of stuff. You'll be probably docked at DuSable Harbor, which is right next to the lock and within walking distance of Navy Pier. And if there's a new harbor, 31st Street, which is not, unfortunately, close to a whole lot, but it's got 900 slips in it. It's a brand new one. Then there's Hammond, which is a little further below that, which is close, the closest one to the river. With the alternate route to go through Chicago if you can't get below 17 feet. So other events, let me think. The best thing to do is, and I mentioned quite a few of them on Waterway Guide, when you're approaching a harbor or an area, go to search the Chamber of Commerce in each of those areas, and they'll list them. But I've got quite a few of them listed on the Waterway Guide as well as the provisioning stops and where to get, who's got fuel and so on. Speaking of fuel, by the way, and if you take the recommended route, my recommended route, by the way, is to come down to about Ludington and make your crossing there, Frankfort or Ludington. You can get over to the other side, hopefully hop into Sturgeon Bay and visit Door County and then start working down from Sheboygan. That way you'll see the best harbors on both sides of the lake. The cheapest fuel is probably going to be Port Washington Marina. Right now, at least as of a week ago, they were $3.44. You can typically find cheap fuel on the other side in St. Joseph or perhaps Grand Haven at the marina right at the harbor entrance. But those are the best. Up in Sturgeon Bay, the Quarterdeck Marine usually has very cheap fuel, too. The one other option is right at the dock in Kewaunee. They don't have any diesel, but they will call in a fuel oil truck. I think it's a couple hundred gallon minimum or something. But so if you've got a couple of boats there at once, you guys can fill up at the rock bottom cost.
And places to provision in general, if you need major supplies as far as groceries, are they pretty popular along the route, or do you need to stop at certain harbors?
Well, I would say that starting from the top on the Michigan side, Charlevoix has got a good grocery store close by. Leland has not a grocery, but well, he has a small grocery, but it's more regional stuff like cherries and dried cherries with chocolate on them and smoked fish and that kind of thing. I mean, that's what you're cruising for, right? Never mind the Campbell's pork and beans. You know. Then we get down to Frankfort, and like I said, there's a good regular grocery store across the street. Ludington has got a good high-end meat market in their local grocery store. Going further south, maybe I should pop to the other side. It's unfortunately kind of thin. Almost every port on the Wisconsin side is going to require a cab to get to, there might be a couple of miles away, but unfortunately that's a little bit too much to walk.
Really?
They keep disappearing. Every time I find one, they close it. I don't know what it is. You know. But when you get to McKinley Harbor, a couple of miles upriver, there is you just kind of have to tie underneath a bridge, but there is a platform you can tie your dinghy on. You'll find the Milwaukee Public Market. That is a great stop, again, for regional unusual foods, a lot of high-end cheeses and sausages and, Wisconsin-type stuff, cheese curds, and everybody's got to get cheese curds, you know. So you'll find that.
Great.
So, sure.
Now, I want to impress on everyone that the Great Loop is a safe cruise. Hundreds of people do it every single year, and there's hardly ever an accident. But are there any special risks we need to be aware of for the Lake Michigan cruise, Bob? What do you think?
Sure. Fortunately, if you stay, let's say, half a mile to a mile offshore, all the way around the lake, you're not going to run into any problems. You'll find the water typically 25, 30 feet or more. But there are exceptions. And so you got to study your charts. One or two areas that come to mind are just north of Milwaukee, between Port Washington to Milwaukee. Don't get too close to shore there. All of a sudden you'll find a surprise, not much water, not too far from shore. I mean, you normally wouldn't travel that close anyway, but that's one area in particular. When you get down between Milwaukee and Racine, there are two buoys, R14 and 16, that delineate a reef and a shoal, and they're a couple of miles offshore. Study the chart. You can work your way through that, but if you're nervous, go around those two buoys. Racine itself has a reef that extends almost 2 miles offshore, and it is very well marked with a lighthouse that is under reconstruction right now. So as of last weekend, the light was only a temporary light, and the horn wasn't working, so you make sure you mark where that is. Don't go between that and there's a green car can close to shore. You can follow the shore closely there without an issue. But almost every year we lose a boat on that reef. There's almost 2 miles from shore, there's a rock pile that's only 2 feet from the surface. And some clown who sets his auto helm from, let's say, south. If you were to draw a run line from South Haven to Reef Point, Marina entrance, you will go over that 2 foot rock pile. So you got to watch out for that lighthouse. Most of them are pretty good. The other thing you got to watch out for is in various spots in the lake, and two that have come to mind is right at the southern part of Little Traverse Bay, and also down the coast from there. And then also on the other side of the lake, let's say between Manitowoc and Sheboygan and a little bit north and south of that, you'll find plenty of fishnets. And they're always marked by buoy systems, and they shouldn't be a problem, but I wouldn't go between those buoys. So you just don't know what the story is. You'll find some in the waterway guide in those areas. I've put some links to websites that will give you the exact construction of how those things are made and what to look for and how to read the flags and all that. So you don't want to mess with those things. There's ferries. If you're up in Door County, there's a ferry between Door County and Washington Island that runs quite frequently. There's a ferry I mentioned between Manitowoc, Wisconsin, and Ludington, Michigan. The Badger. There's a high-speed ferry that runs from Milwaukee to Muskegon, and that guy runs about over 40 miles an hour. And, of course, right down the center of the lake, there is a major shipping lane. Now, we don't get a lot of traffic. We don't see a lot, but it doesn't take a lot to give you a problem, so stay away from it. Keep your eyes open.
Okay, we are just about out of time, but I did want you to give a little bit of information plug to Jen Gibbons. Why don't you tell us about her story, Bob?
Sure. Let me. This young lady, Jen Gibbons, runs a nonprofit foundation in Chicago for recovery and rehab of cancer survivors. And it's been, I guess, shown that exercise is one of the best things you can do to build up your body following cancer and to ward off future attacks. As a demonstration and to highlight what she's talking about, she's actually single-handedly rowing around Lake Michigan right now. She started the journey about a month ago in Chicago. She's worked up the entire coast of Wisconsin, down into Green Bay, to the city of Green Bay. Right now she's rowing today between Manistique and Port Inland, which is right on the Upper Peninsula at the very top of Lake Michigan. She's got a 19-foot, 700-pound ocean-capable rowboat, and was equipped with solar cells and the electronics that she needs. But I don't want to minimize this. This is quite an effort that she's and quite a challenge that she's putting into this thing. You can follow her progress, and it really is something to watch at road4road.org. That's ROW4ROW.org, row4row.org. And there's a full history of why she's doing this, what she's doing, and mainly keep an eye out for her. She's got this 19-foot yellow rowboat named Liv, L-I-V, and I would say that she'll be traveling down the Michigan coast for about the next 3 to 4 weeks, so it's quite probable that you'll see her. So if you see her, give her a toot, give her some words of encouragement, and, of course, don't give her any wake. So.
Thank you, Bob. You've been so informative, and I would recommend anyone who enjoyed Bob's talk get their Waterway guy, because he is the editor, and all of the information that he's talked about will be in there. Again, our website is www.greatloop.org. We'd love for you to become a member. The registration for our fall rendezvous at Joe Wheeler State Park in Alabama is opened. We are close to half full, and it's not until the end of October. So if you do plan to come, please register soon. I hate for people to have to get disappointed. All of our radio shows are archived at our website, and they're also available at blogtalkradio.com and through iTunes. Bob, again, thank you very, very much, and say hello to Carol for us.
I certainly will, and thanks again for inviting me, and we'll hope to see you at a rendezvous soon.
That'd be great. Thank you. We're
all
shooting off for now, everyone. Thanks for listening.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.